going to come back here to talk about Ephesians 6, and I know the kids will probably be glad when I'm done with these three verses. But, you know, we saw there in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In verse 1, we've talked about children obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is right. So all this is real important. As we kind of get started tonight, I wanted to ask you, can you think of any children in the Bible who served the Lord? Andrew? Okay, Jesus did. Now, we saw that in Luke chapter 2, how Jesus, when he was 12 years of age, was about his father's business. So he understood early on that he was to be serving his father. Jacob? Okay. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. So, what is that? Genesis 22, where Abraham took Isaac up and in obedience to what God had said, and Isaac, you know, went right along with it. He didn't disobey. Okay. And he was just a young lad. Caleb and then Sherry. Okay. David being obedient to his father, being out taking care of the sheep and all of that. Is that what you're talking about? All right. Okay, Samuel, right? As a child, the Bible says that Samuel took on the ephod and served the Lord in the temple as just a small child. And then every year his mother would come up and bring him, I don't want to misquote that. Let me take a look at it real quick here. So Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Okay? So Samuel serving the Lord, learning to hear him early on. Andrew? Okay. He was probably young when his ministry started. I don't know that we know an exact age on that, but he was told that he was a youth, and he doubted his ministry because he was a youth. David? Okay, right. Now, we looked at Daniel some. We saw Daniel and then his three friends. What were their names? Does anybody remember the names of Daniel's three friends? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, here's a question I got for you. Do you think once they got into Babylon that they decided to start obeying God then? Or is it more likely that they had been seeking to obey God before they ever got to Babylon? And then when they arrived there, they just continued to obey God. That's the most likely scenario. It's unlikely that they were rebellious prior to being taken captive, then all of a sudden they straightened up and became great models of the faith. It's probably something that they had been practicing. Anybody think of another? What, you know, Jacob?
Kind of going along that same thought, I'm sure Timothy wasn't an overly rebellious young man with his grandmother's mother, just God used him mightily as he was younger.
Yeah, as a young man. Now, what does the Bible say about Timothy and the Holy Scriptures? He knew the Holy Scriptures from when? From childhood, right? Which were able to make him wise unto salvation that is through faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy is another example. Dennis? Joseph? Yeah. I mean, yeah, he definitely fulfilled God's purpose and he could, you know, even when he was trying to be seduced by Potiphar's wife there in Egypt as a young man, he didn't give in to it. He remained faithful to God through all that. David or Lori? I can't tell. Mary? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that she would be carrying the Messiah in her womb. She was blessed. Caleb? Okay, they were adults, married, but they followed him as children. What about a king? Anybody remember a king that started ruling when he was 8 years old? Who was it? Josiah. Josiah, and he was one of the really good kings of the southern kingdom. Ruled for, I think, 31 years as king. So blessings accompanied all these people who, as they sought to obey God, and we see from that that they were really obedient to their parents, to the God-given authority that was in their life. So those are a lot of good examples. Anybody have another one? Okay, well let's go then back here in Ephesians 6, and we talked this morning in part of the message about how children can either honor or dishonor their parents. And I gave you guys five ways in which you either honor or dishonor your parents. Does anybody remember any of them? The first one, you can dishonor them with your what? Words. You can dishonor them with your, yeah, your facial expression. Facial expressions. What was another one? Number three, maybe. Listening and obeying. You can honor them by listening to them and obeying them. So that's three out of five. What's another one? Clay? Okay. If you treat them flippantly or lightly esteem them, then you are dishonoring them. You know, it's that, whatever. Yeah, whatever, Mom. Whatever, Dad. All right. And then there was one more. Yeah, caring for them. Caring for them later in life. Hey, listen, kids. You know, your parents change your diapers when you're young, but there may be a day when you're changing your parents' diapers. All right? That, I'm sorry. Am I right? Am I right? It's true. It is absolutely true. And there may be a time when you're having to do things for your parents that you would have never imagined you would do for your mom and dad. But when those things happen, when that opportunity arises, it is a way, even then, to honor your parents as you care for them later in life. And the Lord wants us to do that. Now, let's do this. In the time that we're here tonight, let's talk about the difference that your obedience and the honor that you show to your parents, the difference that that makes in their life. How does it affect your parents? How does your behavior affect your parents? You know, my children's behavior can even disqualify me from serving as pastor of New Life Baptist Church. If my children are rebellious and troublemakers, then I can actually be disqualified from being a pastor here at this church. So what they do is very important, particularly for me. But every child has an effect on their parents. You know, what did John say about his children in the faith? He has no greater what? Joy than to know that his children walk in the faith. Now, we're going to go back to the Proverbs and look at a few verses tonight. So if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 10, this is some of the wisdom literature, and it's good for us to be reminded, because throughout this, we're seeing what a wise person and a foolish person looks like. So we'll start at Proverbs 10, verse 1. We're going to read several passages here. Won't take too long on any of it. Because this is like probably part four of To the Children of the Church. So Proverbs 10, verse 1. Y'all got it? If you got it, say amen. So Proverbs 10, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon. Now let's see, how does your behavior affect your parents? A wise son makes a what? A glad father. But a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Okay? Now let's go to the next one. Proverbs 15, verse 20. Very similar verse. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. All right, we're seeing the difference between a wise son and a foolish son. Now we go to Proverbs 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Can you think of any examples in the Bible of sons that were a grief to their father? Whose? Aaron's sons. Okay. Yep. Yep. Offering profane fire. Absalom was a grief to his father. Yeah, Eli's sons. And also Samuel's sons, right? And then David had another son that was a grief to him. Okay? All right, good. So that's 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to him who bore him. So, your conduct has a huge impact on your parents. Chapter 19, verse 26 is the next one we'll come to. Chapter 19, verse 26. And there it says, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. All right. Again, it's a terrible situation for parents to go through being treated this way by people that they brought into the world and have given themselves to, have cared for, have sacrificed for, and then to be spurned by their children is something that causes shame and is a reproach. Now we'll go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. I'll read around verse 15, then we'll drop down to a few verses, and we're going to come back to this one in a little while. Proverbs 23, and we'll start at verse 15. Now, it says there in verse 15, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will, what? Rejoice. And that's what happens. The kids, that's what happens to your father's heart when you act wisely. His heart rejoices. My heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself will rejoice, in other words. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. And let's see here. We'll go to verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. So about one, two, three, four times in those couple of verses that we read, we saw that the wise conduct and the wise words of children results in the hearts and in the inmost being, the person of the parent rejoicing over the way that their child is conducting their life. Just like John said, he has no greater joy than this, to know that his children walk in the truth. Now, let's go to Proverbs 27, verse 11. Proverbs 27, verse 11. Do you have something you want to say, Jacob? Okay. Proverbs 27, verse 11. It says, my son, be wise and make my heart, what? Glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. That I may answer him who reproaches me. I remember there's a pastor that's been real influential in my life in the past. And over a large church. And in that church, there were, over the many years, decades of him serving there, there were several times where there were groups of people who caused problems in the church and were very critical of him and left the church. There was division that came up. And, you know, there are a lot of things that would have been that were said about that pastor. But if you looked at him and you looked at his children, the things that everybody else was saying didn't make any sense. Because his children loved him and adored him, and his wife loved him and supported him. So the people on the outside who were saying these things didn't line up with what you see in their family life. And as we look at this passage here in 27:11, he says at the end of that, that I may answer him who reproaches me. So the wise son strengthens the heart of the father so that even when there are those who oppose him, he is able to answer back confidently. Because I take that to be because of his family life and because of the way his children are behaving. All right, now let's go to the last one. This is Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 14. Not quite so specific on this one, but let's read it because I think it'd be good for us to hear it. Proverbs 30, 11 through 14 talks about a generation, and I don't think any of these are positive. This is grouped in here with some negative things about this generation. So in verse 11 it says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Now all of that, four different generations, or the generation is described in four different ways there. And it begins in verse 11 by being that generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Now I want to give a brief story that I know about, and I'm going to be vague in some ways. But to this day, I believe that this is true. I know of a young man who in high school cursed his parents. Cursed them to his friends, speaking evil of them in ways in which you probably would not have imagined. And that young man did that. He was pretty decent guy, grew up in church, he looked the part, but he cursed his parents. And it was not long after that that his life was snuffed out. He was killed in a car wreck. And to this day, as I look back over that and think about that story and those events, I cannot help but think about that possibly, quite possibly, being God's judgment upon that young man. And the deal is, there may be times when you all come to that place in your life where you want to curse your parents, speak evil of them. And I hope that you will remember what the Bible says and the danger in doing that. You're putting yourself in a very dangerous place to speak evil of your parents and to esteem them lightly. So I share that with you just as a way of warning, but just to know that these things are very real. Now that brings us here to, we'll flip back through here, I'll turn this on, to our last point, you know, and see if we can't talk about that. The last point is, you know, honor your parents, there is reward. And we saw two things there. There's quality of life and there's quantity of life. And we'll go on and look at that tonight. There in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3. Now, Let's make sure that we're clear on this. In chapter 6, you saw there in verse 2 where he says, honor your father and mother. Do y'all know where that quotation comes from? Can anybody tell me? You kids, I want to hear it from some of the kids who are here. Where does that quotation there in verse 2 come from where it says, honor your father and mother? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Kaylee, do I see your hand up? No, I don't. Anybody? Okay. The honor your father and mother. Let's think about the books of the law. You may be right. Did you say 23:22? If it is there, it's not. That's not the first mention of it. Okay? Let's see if we can find the first mention of it. That Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. So that's in the ballpark there. But when you see those quotation marks around a phrase, that means it's coming from somewhere else. It is a quote. He's speaking from somewhere else. Anybody see a cross reference? Okay, Claire? All right, Exodus 20:12. And what's found in Exodus chapter 20? The Ten Commandments. Okay? There's two places in the Bible where the Ten Commandments are found. Exodus 20, and then where's the other location? Yep, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Because in the second place, they're being re-taught to the kids who grew up in the wilderness. They're being re-taught to them before they go into the promised land. All right, that's why it's restated there. So when we see that quote, honor your father and mother, and I have in my Bible a little A right before the quotation mark. And as I look down at the bottom of my Bible, in the footnotes, it says Exodus 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. So that tells me where it's being quoted from. All right, so if you can learn to use your Bibles like that, it's very helpful to you when you're studying the Scriptures and you want to cross-reference things. Okay? So, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So, there's some disagreement on that, whether it was the first commandment with promise or not. But it seems to be the first commandment with a specific promise. The other one in the second commandment is kind of more talking about the character of God. But here, Paul states this as it is the first commandment with promise. And the promise, I've just said there is reward. Because the word promise there, it means a pledge to do something that obligates the pledger to follow through. So in other words, it's a promise to the person that if they do what they've said they will do, then there will be a reward at the end. There will be gain from it. And there's two different areas here. We see in verse 3, here's the reward or the promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. All right, so two things there. And that's where we get this quality of life. Right here, that it may be well with you. And then quantity of life, that your days may be long on the earth. It was John Stott that said this about Paul's use here. He says, in his quotation, Paul freely conflates the Greek text of Exodus 20:12, which says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long, and Deuteronomy 5:16, which says that it may go well with you. So he combines the two. And he comes up with that it may go well with you. Now, as we kind of think about this just a little bit, the life of an individual is going to be, as is promised here, better if they will obey their parents and honor their parents than if they don't. Now again, I'm not talking about any abnormal situations where the children are being mistreated physically, spiritually, or emotionally, or mentally by the parents. I'm not talking about abusive situations. I'm talking about your basic, standard home life. The children are going to be and have a better quality of life if they honor their parents. I mean, think about this. How many of you have ever gotten a spanking because you honored your parents or obeyed your parents? Most of the time you don't, right? How many of you ever got put in time out or were disciplined in some way because you were honoring your parents and obeying your parents? I don't know of any parents who disciplined their children because they were obeying them and honoring them. See, your life's going to go better. You're going to have a better quality of life if you honor your parents, your father and mother. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, just listen to this. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. So if you're going to choose to be a rebellious person, if you're going to choose to be a rebellious child, you are likely to grow up to be a rebellious adult. And what's going to happen is your life is going to be a hard life. The life of the unfaithful is hard. So God's calling us to be a people who are obedient and submissive and honor, give honor to those to whom honor is due. And when that happens, we have a better quality of life. You can see that throughout the Proverbs. In Proverbs 16:7, it says something like that God makes even the, for the righteous man, God makes even his friend, his enemies to be at peace with him. Let me check that. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, that's not all the time going to be that way, but generally speaking. So the way of a wise person is going to be better than that of a foolish. Quality of life. And then the next one there you see there is quantity. When I think of these words, I think about what my dad used to say whenever I was working on something. He'd say, son, remember three things when you're doing your work. Safety, quality, quantity. That's the order. You got to be safe first. You got to have quality work. And then the quantity of work, the amount that you get done. And that's kind of the order that we see here. The quality of life and now the quantity of life. The amount. Quantity means the amount. How much you have. So he says there in Ephesians 6, in that second part of the promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, we know because this was given to the Israelites in the Ten Commandments that this was a promise that if they would obey this, they would live a long time in the land of Israel, in the promised land. Here in the New Testament, as one author says, the land of Jerusalem is fading out of sight. And it goes more to the entire world being inhabited by God's people and them dwelling on the earth and enjoying life. Now, this works its way out probably in a couple of ways. It could possibly work its way out individually because in the quantity of life, you are more likely to live longer, have a longer life, the less you are engaged in sin and in danger, and you are able to avoid these things. Take, for instance, a person who's driving recklessly. If their parents have taught them how to drive correctly, and they go out and drive recklessly and go way over the speed limit, make passes when they should not on roads, and are just careless, they are more likely to be killed in a car wreck than someone who is seeking to drive the speed limit and drive safely. That's just the way it goes. And that's what we see here, that when we are honoring and obeying our parents, we have guardrails in our lives that protect us. and can actually result in us having a longer life. How that works out in the sovereignty of God, I'm not altogether sure, but we believe that it does. Now, the next part is it could be working its way out socially. Socially. A society, a civilization, or a nation will be better off for the long haul if the natural and revealed law of God concerning the parent-child relationships are upheld. Otherwise, that society will become so corrupt and sinful that they will be met with the judgment of God intermittently and then finally. So our society is better off if the parent-child relationship and the view that parents have for their, that children have for their parents is accurate. The society, our community, is going to be better off if it is that way. In Proverbs 3, verse 1 through 4, let's turn over there and we'll be wrapping things up. Proverbs 3, have y'all look at this. I thought we'd get back to chapter 23, but I don't know if we will or not. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. It says there, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." And then what does it say? For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of man, of God and man." Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. Then we can look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. I think there was another one that we ran across last Sunday night that I can't remember where it is. But Proverbs 4, verse 10, "My son, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be," what? "Many." Now, is this a guaranteed across the board for every single person? No. Because there's great Christian people who have died at a young age. But generally speaking, that's the way it's going to be. That you will have a long life if you honor your parents and obey them. So, your parents and the things that we see here, they're kind of like, as someone has called it, a circle of safety for children. Children may get to a point in their life where they don't like it, but what God has given you and your parents is a circle of safety. And outside of that circle lies disappointments, dangers, and possibly even death. So God has given explicit instruction to the children. You kids can't say, "God didn't tell me to do anything," because we've seen here in the Bible that, yes, He did. God is very clear in the Word what you as children are to do. Obey your parents and honor your father and mother. In doing these, children are able to begin to learn to live for the Lord. Refusal by children to do even this may greatly hinder them coming to Christ otherwise. Proverbs 13:1, "A wise son heeds a father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." Proverbs 15:5, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." So I'll just end by saying, you know, don't forget about those five mules pulling those five plows. This commandment is not something that you have been perfect at or any of us have been perfect in. And our failure in this ought to break up the ground of our hearts to receive the gospel of God and the grace of God in our lives. Because the law of God drives us to Christ, who is our mediator between God and men. Because we know we've all sinned and fallen short. You cannot make your standing before God your self-righteousness. That's what the rich young ruler did. He said, "I've done all these things from my youth, but yet he failed to realize his sinfulness before God. And that's what we must all do. As we think about honoring our parents, and we know that maybe we failed and have failed in that in some ways, it should drive us to Christ, not from him, and it should not drive us to despair, but it should drive us to the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all I have. Does anybody have any questions or anything you feel like you need to correct on what I've said? Any questions? Jacob? Or contribution to what we've said. Yeah, to help our children do this and to remind them about it. This has been good for me because, you know, kids start getting older and you kind of forget about obey all the way, right away, and happily because the older ones have kind of gotten that down, you know, hopefully. And you forget to reinforce those things with the younger kids. And so this has been good for me to remember that. And, you know, the thing about it is we will not always obey our parents. But we will always honor our parents, you know, because like let's say a person grows up and they're 30 years old and married with a couple of kids, and they say, "Man, I'd really like to go on a mission trip," and a brother in Christ says, "Well, why don't you go on a mission trip?" "Well, my mom and dad won't let me." You know, that doesn't make any sense. You're your own household now. You're an adult now. You have your own family, and you have to obey the Lord. And we remember what Acts 5 says, it's always better to obey God rather than man. So we want to make sure that we're being obedient to God. But while you're young and you're under your parents' authority in their home, this certainly applies and must be applied to your life as children. And listen, don't use as an excuse, "Well, I'm not a Christian yet." That's no excuse. All right? In the Oriental culture, they hold their parents in high regard, but they're not a Christian culture. A lot of them aren't. But because of the teachings of Confucius, they hold their parents in high regard. And that's the right thing to do. So it is a natural law. So don't use that as an excuse. Anybody else have anything you want to contribute on that or a question? Okay, let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, it's good to hear these things. I needed to hear them. And I pray you'd please bless this teaching, this word to our hearts so that we can reflect your glory more accurately. And I thank you, God, that you've not left us without instruction in this area of children obeying their parents. And I pray again, God, that all of the children here at the church would realize that you are really speaking directly to them. You're telling them to obey their parents. You are telling them to honor their father and their mother. It's not me. It's not their parents even. But it's God's word telling them. And I pray, Lord, that they'd be given a special amount of grace from you, like Samuel, who was able from childhood to serve you. So please bless our kids and thank you for all of them, for how obedient many of them are and how they bring you glory already because of their behavior. And I just pray you'll continue to grow them and help us as parents to be diligent in our teaching them and giving them instruction. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless us and keep us until we return here again on Wednesday night. In Jesus' name, amen.